Red light spells danger. Can't hold on much longer. I'm a dooley. Red light. Is it a dooley?
Is that a dooley one?
Were they the dooleys who sang that? You're the ones that you're obsessed with.
If we're talking dooleys, it's wanted.
How does that go? Oh, wanted, yeah, boy, yeah. You're everything I ever needed. Classic. I could get a job on Seaside Special.
What a classic. Hello and thank you for listening to episode 516 of 60MW and the review roundup show for May, June and July 2023. I'm Dave, and of course that means in your ears and mine is the sultry tones of Tina.
Hello. Hello. I don't like this.
You don't like it?
I don't like it.
Well, that's
it.
A great start to an audio podcast. It's an audio where podcast. They have so, no idea what
so
you've just
Dave
pointed at.
Dave has just got... The microphone I normally talk into now has a guard around it that you have to peep over, and it's very off-putting.
It's very professional.
Oh, right then. Okay.
Right, if you're new to the show, thank you for listening. These are the ones where me and Tina have a look back at some of our favourite things that have been reviewed on the website since we last recorded, and like we said at the end of the last show, all being well, these are going to be quarterly, and we've stuck to that. It's a three-month show, which is quarterly.
Congratulations!
How about that for some mental
math? That's pretty amazing.
That was pretty good, wasn't it? Dividing 12 by 4 that quick. Oh, my God. Yeah, let's begin with... I want to begin with something, bit of a weird one, because normally the recommendations we make from things that we've reviewed, you can then go out and, you know, buy, watch, listen to, whatever. But I'm going to go and start with something that you can't go and buy or watch or listen to because they're live event reviews.
Hooray.
And I think it's good. I just want to revisit because after the few years of that thing we don't talk about in the podcast.
You mean being locked in the house because of COVID?
Yes, that thing.
That thing.
And then us both having operations and then illnesses and blah de blah de blah.
So talking about COVID again.
This year.
Dave had COVID.
Yeah.
And strep A at the same time.
That was fun. Then, so we've been able to get out and about, the whole team has.
It's been amazing.
I just want to mention some of the reviews that are on there. So Tom down in London, he went and saw Joe Satriani, the jammy bugger. He also went to the BFI Film Festival, which was really good. You and me, Tina, we went not only to see Bez, but I was up on stage with Bez doing a Q&A thing with him. We went to see Jeff Tate.
Don't you think you should explain who Bez is before you...
Well, I just want to say the names first, and then we'll sort of revisit the ones that I've just said. So Jeff Tate, Operation Mindcrime, doing the full album.
Yeah.
And then I went to see Chris Holmes, Mean Man, ex-Wasp.
Yeah.
So they're five. There are more live event reviews on there, but I just thought I wanted to mention how good it was that live events that finally we're getting... to see them after our exceedingly bad run of health and shit.
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to say about any of those? I think, I'm pretty sure you put Jeff Tate on your list of some of the favourite things.
Absolutely. I also
anyway.
Put Bez on my list. I should mention as well that we've been to see a few concerts, and even though I think I did review the Teskey Brothers, didn't I, for the website? But that was a while ago. But we also saw the Teskey Brothers, a band that I've wanted to see live for years, who were introduced to me by Steve Woolley, who passed away 3 years ago in November. He introduced me to a lot of new music. So going to see them was amazing, but a bit sad as well, because I really wished that Steve had been with me and you, Dave, watching them live.
Oh, yeah, he'd have loved it.
Definitely. So first on my list is Shake Your Maracas.
Bez.
Happy Mondays. So Bez was, he's not a singer, is he? If you don't know the Happy Mondays or Bez, please pause the podcast now, if you're able to, or after you've finished listening, and just Google Bez the Happy Mondays, B-E-Z, and all will be revealed. Because you have to see him to believe him.
He's a performer, an entertainer.
An entertainer, which involves sort of, I don't know if you could call it dancing, moving in a frantic way with maracas.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say, really. He's a bit of a raconteur now, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he was good. He was very good. He was a very nice guy.
Very nice.
Very friendly. Mm. Very welcoming. And
he was lovely as well, because after the gig, which you were the host of, mm-hmm. which basically means you sat on stage and asked him questions.
Had a chat
with him, which you are very, very good at. I think people who listen to the podcast know how good you are at, because you don't interview people, you talk to them, and you haven't got a list of questions ever. You just literally talk to them, and wherever they go, you follow. Mm-hmm. Which makes it really interesting. And that's what you did live with Bez. But the really great thing about him was afterwards there was a bit of a meet and greet, and he gave time to everybody. And he was genuine and genuinely pleased and a bit almost overawed in a way. You could see it in his eyes. He was like, hiya, yeah. You've come all this way to see me. Oh, why have you done that?
Yeah,
but he was really nice, wasn't
he? In his
he?
Own words, he said, he's a lucky bastard.
Yeah, he is. He is very lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the same place, Jeff Tate.
Jeff Tate, yeah. So Jeff Tate is the singer of, was, excuse me, he was the singer of Queensryche. Oh, again, you can Google the story of Queensryche and the name and the arguments and, oh, just like... yeah, I don't know. Am I allowed to tell the story of how we nearly met Jeff Tate, or should I keep my mouth sealed?
We'll keep that to ourselves.
Shall we? Can I just give a little hint?
Go on, give a little hint.
So,
because we, like you said, we met Bez, lovely.
We met Bez. He was lovely, and we, of course, we went to see them at our most beloved, the Tivoli in Buckley, the best music venue that there is. Well, I think in Britain, because it's independent. It's just an amazing place that keeps rock music, old and new, alive.
Yeah.
And it's worth a trip, isn't it, Dave?
It's just a great place. Anywhere near the area, keep an eye out. I mean, follow them on the social media anyway, and bookmark the website, because they've always got loads of gigs.
Loads of gigs, so, yeah.
And if you're not close, you know, support your local music venue as
absolutely.
Well. It's really important.
Yeah. So we saw Jeff Tate at the TIV. He was singing the whole of Operation Minecraft. It wasn't really an anniversary, I don't think. Was it like 30 years or something like that?
30 years, I think it was. Like that,
but
yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, like it might have been 31 years, but they just said 30 years. And it was incredible. I've got a history with the album Operation Minecraft, which you can read about on the website of my review of that particular gig. But normally we get to meet whoever's playing because we're pretty easygoing, aren't we? And we don't, you know, we don't intrude on people. Mainly you. I rarely join you. It's normally you. Go upstairs, say hello, get a photo for the podcast, for the website.
Yeah, which I did with Chris Holmes after the Mean Man gig. Yeah, I had about 10,
no
15
problem.
Minutes with him. And
yeah.
he was really lovely as well.
Yeah, but it didn't happen with Jeff Tate. And all I'll say is some rock wives should stay at home. And let's just leave it at that, shall we?
Yeah. So we never got to meet him, which is unfortunate.
We didn't get to meet him, yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
Moving on. So, yeah, support live music, get out to gigs and enjoy them.
So what was Chris Holmes like when you met him?
When I met him, he was really good. He was topless when I walked into the room. And he said,
I always imagine him to be a bit sort of over the top. And
no, he was quite humble and funny. Again, I'm not going into the exact details of everything that we talked about. But at one stage, his wife said, "Chris, stop talking about Blackie." Let's just say there's no chance of Chris Holmes ever playing with Wasp again, from what I heard. But no, he was really nice. He was really nice. He's gone through a lot of health problems himself recently, and it's good that he seems to be overcoming those. Damn, he's lost a load of weight, which, seeing him topless, as I said, you know, I walked in and went, oh, you've caught me nearly naked. Mm. I didn't just barge in, by the way. I was invited in at that point. Mm. It's not like I just like burst through the door.
You did, though, didn't
as
you?
As he was taking you his clothes. Though. I was waiting. I was peeping through the crack in the door, waiting for him. To,
like, oh, he's nearly in his skiddies.
Oh, he's nearly naked now. I'm going to run in now. So, yeah, I could see how much weight he'd lost, especially over the last year or two. But, yeah, he was really nice, to the point where I had my photograph taken with the band. And if you want to have a look at the photo, it's on the review on the website. And he was standing next to us, and he crouched down. He said, I don't want to seem too tall above everybody. So he sort of
slid
down the wall a little bit. Yeah, he is. But he was really nice, very very affable.
Did you think when you saw him, did it cross your mind, you fucked Lita Ford?
No, actually, no, it didn't. It was
No, that's what I always say. I always look at him and think, you fucked Lita Ford.
No, I was just thinking of all the times that I saw him in Wasp in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
And
well.
Then,
yeah.
Like, younger me then, thinking, oh, you're going to be, you know, upstairs in the in the big green room with him, having a chat with him.
Amazing.
Mm. Which is kind of cool. And it was cool. And he was very cool himself. So that was good. Yeah. Mm. Shall we get on to stuff that people can actually, if they want to, watch, listen to, buy, etc.? I'm going to start with the box set. We've been lucky enough to have been sent quite a few box sets over the years. And recently, since we last recorded, we were sent the 4K box set, the Bruce Lee box set, released by Arrow, which has in it 4K versions of The Big Boss, Fist of Fury, Way of the Dragon, Game of Death, Game of Death 2. Unfortunately, Enter the Dragon isn't in 4K. That's getting a separate release by Warner Brothers
own the rights to it. Yeah.
So there's a Blu-ray in the box set. That's the only one that's the Blu-ray. But it was good watching these. I hadn't seen them in like so long. Mm-hmm. Some of them like VHS days.
Yeah.
So you can imagine watching them on 4K. Going from my memories of watching them like on a VHS was so different. So that's all. I mean, what can you say? There's a lot of firms out there. Arrow, Second Sight. Quite a few others that take a lot of care about what they put out, and with the special features on them, the presentation, the, you know, the boxes, the artwork, the special features, the physical special features that they put in with them, just amazing. Bruce Lee, proper, you know, when you say one of a kind, there's just
nobody else like him.
I'm going to be writing a review as we record in the coming week. And I may well be talking about it the next time we record. And it's a documentary called The Clones of Bruce Lee. And it follows from when Bruce Lee died. And he got so popular so quick. And of course, you know, he died, I think it was 2 weeks before Enter the Dragon came out. And then there was this sudden obsession throughout the Western audiences of martial arts films. And Bruce Lee particularly. Yeah. So they were getting all these like lookalikes who could fight like him.
Yeah.
And all these films. And they would call him... Oh, like Bruce Lee and Bruce, you know, all these playing on the name. So you think, oh, is it Bruce Lee or is it not? But the, you know, then you chop socky and he looks a bit like him. And it's a good documentary, but you can't beat the real thing.
Mm.
And in these early movies, he's just exceptional. It's just sad. You think, oh, if only he'd lived, he'd have been in the Expendables. He would have been in the Expendables.
Do you think so?
God, must have been,
instead of Jet Li.
Yeah.
So because I'm female and hadn't got any brothers, and my dad was always into Westerns rather than like Kung Fu movies, I'm not overly familiar with Bruce Lee at all. I've seen Enter the Dragon. I can remember bits of it, but I think I may have one bit of it confused with a funny film where a man unscrews a claw hand and puts a vibrator on it, but I can't remember what film.
Trust me, that doesn't happen in Enter the Dragon.
I didn't think it did.
There is a claw hand, but
there is a claw.
No
vibrators. I can't remember. There you go. If you know what that film is, can you email Dave and tell him, please? So I found watching these films really interesting because, you know, he's a legend, isn't he? And I thought he would be like some sort of amazing enigma. And in truth, he is, because you can when you watch these films, they're very... He's the standout in all of them, even when he's got a lesser role in them. But is it Game of Death where he... And Game of Death 2, where he died and they put...
Yeah, he
footage
filmed...
of his coffin with his dead body in it, which is very bad taste indeed, I thought. But also, they made the film and it was supposed to be Bruce Lee, but it wasn't. It was somebody standing in for him. And then they'd got like 2 minutes of footage, I think, in Game of Death.
No, they got more. There's about, I think...
Oh,
They filmed 30 minutes, but there's about... 10 to 15 minutes
it's
of it
just,
used.
I found it painful to watch. It's because I'm not a massive fan.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand somebody going, oh, God, it's got just 10 minutes of Bruce Lee in it. I've got to see it. But I just thought, God, they're really... And he's dead. And they put his body... I was horrified.
Mm-hmm.
I was genuinely horrified because there's like a close-up on the coffin. You can see his face. And I can remember saying to you, is that really him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was. And then the queue outside his funeral with the woman.
Yeah, it was open casket, yeah.
Yeah, the woman who's in the film actually went into the funeral and they were filming her for the film. And it was just, ugh, heavy. Yeah, it didn't. All of the films, I think probably The Big Boss was the best one out of them for me.
Yeah.
And I would like to see Enter the Dragon on 4K.
Oh,
I've got
me
it because that
yeah,
is
yeah.
that is the Bruce Lee film, isn't it? Really, but I've got to admit it wasn't my cup of tea, except for the Bruce Lee bit.
It is an essential buy if you're a Bruce Lee fan or martial arts fan.
Mm.
It's really, really good. I'm just going to mention one more box set before I pass it over to you. And this was another Arrow Films release called Enter the Video Store. And in it were five Empire Films. Remember those back from the VHS days? Empire Films releases. So from 1984, The Dungeon Master. 86 is Dolls. 87 is Cellar Dweller. And both from 89, Arena and Robot Jocks. Now, all of these...
Robot Jocks, sorry.
I had them all on video back in the day. Watched them more than once. Because, of course, Dungeon Master, it's got Wasp in it. There we go. A little callback to Wasp. Chris Holmes in Dungeon Master.
Yeah.
These Cheap as Chips movies are so, so enjoyable, so entertaining.
They are.
I mean, they're aimed, because you were saying, is this a kids' movie? Is this an adult movie?
Yeah.
As we were watching them, because there are different themes in them, you know, from horror of the Dungeon Master and Dolls and Cellar Dweller. For me, Cellar Dweller is the weakest one. That's in the box set. But that's still not saying it's shit. But it's by far the weakest one as far as I'm concerned. I'd say Arena and Robot Jocks are my two favourite ones.
Mm. Right.
Fighting. Because in Arena, you've got aliens fighting each other. And in Robot Jocks, you've got huge robots
fight. Yes, I agree with you. I concur with you wholeheartedly.
Had you watched... Because I know we sat down and
I think the only one I hadn't seen, and this goes to my shout out to my brother here, because he was, you know, a little kid in the 80s, and he, to shut him up, my mum would give him £1.50, and the video man who would come to our house in a van would let him have anything he wanted. That included The Exorcist and any, you know, like Extro or any Video Nasty or Over 80. Yeah, you're 8. There you go, son. Enjoy it. So I have seen all of them, but except maybe Cellar Dweller. I'm not sure if I've seen that. But that was, it was really enjoyable and funny. You know, the sort of Sunday afternoon when it's raining films, really, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect viewing time for them.
Yeah.
And again, you know, used to watching them VHS, much like the Bruce Lee ones and... Again, these films, you think, oh, my God, they're getting a Blu-ray release. How awesome is that?
Yeah, they looked really good as well, didn't they?
They did look very, very good. So, yeah, if you're into those kind of movies, Enter the Video Store is a really good box set to buy.
Another film that looked really good on re-release is the 4K disc of The Brotherhood of the Wolf, which is a French film. So I actually have like a special edition DVD of it. But I was really disappointed when I bought it. I thought I didn't like it at all. And I can't remember why, but it's a film that I've, oh God, is it that film? I can remember it being really long, and I watched it again, and I must have had it mixed up with another film.
Mm-hmm.
What? I don't know. But what a cracking film Brotherhood of the Wolf is. Do you like it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love it. I remember buying, I think it was like a three-disc special edition.
We've still got it.
DVD.
We've got it.
Yeah, when it came out, I remember buying that and loving it. We were, just a little peep behind the scenes here, we were offered some interview time with Mark Dacascos. Yeah. To help promote it. And I said, oh, God, yes, please. And then we didn't hear anything back. Yeah. So, oh, well.
He was on Instagram yesterday jumping up and down on top of a plank. Because I watched him and then I rewound it and watched him again because he is rather lovely. So it's based on a true story in France, the Beast of Jourvaudan. The King of France, Louis XIV, sends naturalist Grégoire de Fron... Please... Dave, don't try and correct me because you can't pronounce anything.
I'm awesome with names.
Do you want me to show you and you have a go?
No, I think my history with names is well recorded
so
on these shows.
The hero is played by Samuel Le Bihan, and he plays Gregor de Fronsac, and his best friend is an Iroquois Indian called Manny, who's Mark Dacascos. So Manny the Indian goes around chop socking people, which is really weird because this is a film based in the 1700s in France. His best mate's an Indian who does kung fu, but it's perfect. It just really fits in with it. So Vincent Cassell is also in it. Is he the bad guy? Is he the good guy? We don't know. He's an aristocrat. I love Vincent Cassell.
He
always plays baddies beautifully. He's in a film called Satan. Please look for it. And if you see it for a pound in CEX, please buy it. You're in for a treat. His then wife, Monica Bellucci, Monica Bellucci. Even I would sleep with Monica Bellucci. She is perfection as a woman. She's just, I don't know. How would you describe Monica Bellucci, Dave? You're allowed to, by the way. I will not punch you. Sultry.
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 Mm.
Sexy. She's just like, if you squoze her, juice would come out of her. Pure womanhood. She's so beautiful. So the main thing I took away from watching Brotherhood of the Wolf again was that it's absolutely awesome. It's got a cracking story with brilliant action in it.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing, well, actually, we watched it dubbed over, didn't we? We didn't watch it because it's in French. But we watched the dubbed English version, and it's probably one of the best dubbed versions of a film I've ever seen. The language just, and the accents as well. And it wasn't like, you know, normally you watch a dubbed film and one of the men will talk like this when he's like
really,
a 20-year-old. Yeah. Well, this was, whoever they'd got, the voice actors they got were perfect.
Yeah.
They were perfect. And it's almost like a comic book film, sort of like, you couldn't compare it to Watchmen, but that sort of feel about it, even though it's not based on a graphic novel, it is literally based on a real folk tale from 17th century France.
Mm.
So I give that a good 9.5 out of 10. Cracking film, amazing extras, wonderful picture, 4K. There's a lot of the action happens in the dark and in tunnels. You can see everything. Well done. Arrow.
That is one of the advantages with these 4K releases a lot of the time, isn't it? With you can see a lot more going on in these night scenes.
We've actually just watched the new Arrow 4K of Time Bandits, which is a film that I can actually repeat the dialogue from. Astounding, the stuff you can see in it that I have never seen before on these, which no doubt we'll talk about in the next show, but incredible. Buy a 4K player. They're worth it.
Yeah. Because on more than one occasion while watching Time Bandits, you turned to me and went, wow, look at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good.
It's great.
Yeah. Let's stick with box sets again. Another box set, Blood Money.
That's my pick as well.
Oh, go on, because Westerns. Yeah. There's four Westerns in it. $10,000 for a Massacre, Vengeance is Mine, Find a Place to Die, and Matalow.
Matalow!
Exclamation mark.
Absolutely cracking box set. All Westerns, all Italian. My favourite genre, Westerns. And when we get sent any Western that I've never seen before, I get really, really excited. Weakest film for me was Find a Place to Die. It starred, what's his name? Jeff Hunter, who played Captain Pike in Star Trek.
Yeah.
And also Jesus in King of Kings. That was Max von Sydow. He played Jesus in the next film about Jesus, which I can't remember. It wasn't King of Kings. It might have been Story of Stories. It was some sort of technical Bible stuff, but he played Jesus in it. So the really interesting thing, there was quite, I can't believe I never knew this. I seriously cannot believe I didn't know it. And I feel quite ashamed to say that I didn't know that Gian Valenti had a brother called Claudio Camasso. So all the way through the first two films, which is $10,000 for a Massacre and Vengeance is Mine, they starred Gianni Garco, who's a very, very famous Italian actor, really good looking with blonde hair, so quite unusual, and Claudio Camasso. I kept saying to you, didn't I, doesn't he look like Gian Valenti? And you were going, yeah, he does. Yeah, but he really looks... Oh my God, he even acts like him. That was because he's his brother.
His brother.
I didn't know he got a brother. Really sad story. Ended up killing somebody and got arrested for it and then committed suicide in prison. Google it if you're interested. Really horrible and shocking story. I think he had an alcohol problem as well.
If people are still wondering, who's Gian Maria Valente?
Oh, I just know him as Gian. Gian Valente.
Have a look at Fistful of Dollars and for a few dollars more. Then you'll know. That's all I'm saying.
One of the sexy Italian actors. Oh, look at him though. As we're talking, you've got a picture of him up. He's like a massive Italian actor as well. He's been in, I think he died not long ago, didn't he? Some of the most amazing Italian films made in the 70s, but just so handsome. I love him. But what a great box set. Absolutely really must good. Buy if you like.
Yeah, because Westerns, people think, you know, all the usual Western names come up. You know, the Spaghetti Western, Dollars and all of those.
You have to admit, Matalow is a Western that is so incredible. I can't believe I've never heard of it or seen it before because it's like... sort of a hippie Western.
Yeah.
Where they use boomerangs.
Have you ever
rather
seen
than gunfights. Yeah. 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 And it's got like rock guitar.
Yeah. The costume design is very sort of late 60s hippie.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, you've got this gunfighter who is really a boomerang fight because he's throwing boomerangs.
All the way through it, I just kept expecting to see Charlie Manson pop up somewhere in a bit part. You know, because it was a very unsettling film as well.
It was, wasn't it?
It was very double-crossing, hiding treasure. Mm. Yeah, it's, as I said, you know, the weak film in that box set for me was Find a Place to Die, and even that was sort of okay. But the first two films, and Matalow, they were... absolutely
really good.
Belting films, weren't they?
Like
brilliant.
Said, for ones that we'd never seen before as well. And we watched a lot of Westerns between us over the years.
Yeah, so absolutely, yeah.
It's always nice when you get a little surprise like these in a box set. Let's carry on with another box set, Italian. Staying with Italian, this time it's from Radiance Films, Cosa Nostra.
Yeah, this is my pick as well.
Franco Nero.
Oh, Franco. I love him. I would watch anything with Franco Nero in. I'm probably like, I've been obsessed with Franco Nero since I was about 13.
Three films in it. The Day of the Owl, The Case is Closed, Forget It.
Say it properly.
And in How to Kill a Judge.
The case is closed. Forget it. Slam the door. Yeah.
Young Franco Nero. Young, yeah. Slim.
Wasn't he like 25 when he made The Day of the Owl?
Something like that. So he was very young.
Very handsome. He has blonde hair in it as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know, even know if I can speak about the films. I'm just thinking about Franco now.
he is somebody who holds the screen, though, isn't he?
Totally,
he's one of those who has definitely
got a great actor,
a screen presence about him.
Yeah,
and when he's on there, he's sort of locked into him.
So these films were made by Damiano Damioni. Damiano. Actually, I'm just saying that I could have got his first name wrong. Damiano Damioni? But the really great thing about this particular box set, apart from the films themselves, and I have to admit, How to Kill a Judge, the last film, is a really famous film because it was based on the time of something that really happened that was causing... I mean, I didn't know until, you know, sort of 10 years ago that of a lot of Italian films reflected the... all the bad shit that was going on in the government, they would make films about it. And then all the people would go and see and go, yeah, you know, this is like secret.
Yeah.
It's, so it's really great. The How to Kill a Judge was the film. I got a bit bored with it, really, even though it was okay. But the really brilliant thing about it was his introductions and him talking about each film, Franco Nero, and about and that's something else we should mention as well. Also, going back to Blood Money, the Western box set,
of course,
with the introductions by Dave, will put them in the notes because I actually haven't got it written down. This Italian film critic, they
were amazing introductions.
Yeah, amazing.
Really set the scene, didn't they,
absolutely,
for what you were about to watch.
Yeah, and he deserves really to. So maybe you could put a little note in.
In the podcast notes. Check the podcast notes for who does these introductions. Or just go and buy the box set because it's well worth buying.
Yeah. But if you have a choice out of the two, definitely get the Western one, the Blood Money one, because that's cracking. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting you said that about the introductions because in quite a few films that we've watched, not just since we last recorded, but since we've been writing reviews, there's been some great ones, some really, really good ones over the years.
But then, you know, it depends. It's like, I like to see film companies give new people a chance. I'm not going to name names here, but there are, you know, because we watch a lot of films and we do watch the extras. But there are some extras with some people that comment on a film and you know it's going to be a bit boring and really dry and...
academic.
Too academic, you know, which is great. But then even the BFI don't really do that anymore, do they?
No.
So these introductions by people who... Well, obviously Franco Nero, you know, but the other guy for the Western one, they're really great, aren't they? Really set the scene and really knowledgeable. But also, even though he was speaking in Italian and it's subtitled, told you lots of stuff about the making of the film that you would never have known otherwise.
Yeah.
And talked about the story of the film and if it reflected whatever or...
But didn't spoil it for you.
Didn't spoil it,
you know, it does,
really
it does pay off. To watch these introductions first, then go into the film, because some, you don't want it spoiled if it's your first time you're watching it.
Yeah.
But these give you like little nuggets of information. And then as you were watching the film, you went, oh, remember when he said that? That was like really good.
Right. So I'll go next then. And I'm going to talk about a very unusual film that I would imagine most of our listeners have listened to. And it's folk horror, but based on a Welsh folk tale about a lighthouse in the 1860s. Well known in Wales, that this particular lighthouse, which may or may not have been South Stack near Anglesey, had two wickies, which is the word that we call lighthouse keepers working there. And one of them went mad and killed the other one. So the legend of it grew and grew and grew, you know, and people gossiped about it and mermaids were involved and sirens and seagulls and whatever. And Rob Eggers decided he was going to make a film of it. About 6 months after a Welsh film company also made a film about it, also called The Lighthouse, which is a really good film, but not as surreal as Robert Eggers. So those of you who don't recognise the name Robert Eggers, he directed The Witch with our lovely friend Kate Dickey starring in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his last film was The Northman, again with Kate Dickey, Nicole Kidman, and Alexander Skarsgård.
There's a lot of...
Florence Pugh. No, she's
not
in it.
You've had a lot of four men in this in this episode.
Oh, what's it? It's not Florence Pugh. What's her name? The one with the lovely eyes. And she was in the chess programme.
I know who you mean.
Yeah. I can't
name
think...
Name is escaping me.
Yeah, her name's escaping me as well. Shout it out. I can't hear you. Shout it louder than that. Yeah, she's also in The Witch. Yeah, so The Lighthouse. What can you say about The Lighthouse? I know what you'd say about it.
What? Farting.
Farting. There's a lot of farting in The Lighthouse.
There is. I do appreciate a good fart in a movie.
I know you do, darling. I know. It's a black and white film. And it stars Willem Dafoe as the older Wiki and four.
Another four.
Robert Pattinson. Now, Robert Pattinson, everybody, oh, God, I'm out of bloody... I was going to say Moonlighting then.
Moonlighting.
It's the same if only he had been with Bruce Willis. Out of Twilight. Robert Pattinson, I think, is a fantastic actor. So I really rate him as an actor. I really like him. And he's incredible in The Lighthouse. If you haven't seen it and you like horror films, give it a go. You might be a bit confused. Just a bit confused. Or what do you think of The Lighthouse? Do you like it?
Oh, I really enjoy it. Yeah. We'd seen it before, but this was another 4K release,
4K,
wasn't it? Which, again, black and white film, a lot of night scenes. It looked really good.
The sound
is
amazing.
Really good. Yeah.
It's a film that sort of denies description, really, doesn't it? You can read about it online and people say it's a folk horror. Is it a horror film? Is it a dream? Is it, I don't know what the fuck it is really, but it's 2 hours of farting and fighting and mermaid vagina.
Yeah, just two men.
Oh, quite a lot of wanking in it as well.
Just two men slowly descending into madness, really.
Yeah, literally wanking themselves to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, read my review of it. That'll explain all.
There you go, yeah. Hopefully the things that we're talking about, first port of call, go to the website, have a read of the review, think about what we've said about them and then think, maybe I should buy this then.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a mermaid vagina before? Have you ever even imagined one?
I must say no. Nothing that's ever popped into mind.
I think Robert Eggers got it right. I think if a mermaid had a vagina, that's what it would look like.
Yeah.
Because you get a really good close-up of
it. Oh, you get a good look.
Yeah.
Inglorious 4K.
And with that, I will stop.
I'm going to mention a Blu-ray released by Universal Pictures Home Entertainment.
Ooh,
From this year.
Right.
Movie from this year, Champions, starring Woody Harrelson as a minor league basketball coach who has got a quick temper, loses his temper on the court, and then is ordered by a court to do some community service. And the community service that he's got to do is he's got to manage a team of basketball players. But in the synopsis on IMDb, it says a team of players with intellectual disabilities. Now, this was directed by Bobby Farrelly, one of the Farrelly brothers.
So you instantly think, oh, my God, if a Farrelly brother has directed this, it's going to be really, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because there's disabled people.
Yeah, because of the subject matter and because of who's directing, you're thinking, oh, like you said, shit, where's this going to go?
Yeah.
Very pleasantly surprised
the
way that he handled the story with it. Because I've said before on shows, you know, I teach a college for 16 to 25-year-olds with special educational needs and disabilities. And so this had got a particular interest for me when I watched it. And it is handled really well.
Yeah, it's really refreshing to see a film, a story that just treats them just like everybody else.
Yeah.
That they're just, you know, normal.
Everybody's the same.
Yeah, that they swear and fart and have an attitude and they're shit and they get upset and, you know, they're nice and they're funny and they're, you know, they're just normal people, yeah, but they have a disability.
It was a good, enjoyable, funny.
Yes, it was.
Film.
Yeah.
And again, some of the special features in this, where it goes behind the scenes of it, were really good.
They were. Yeah.
And especially
how they got picked for the part.
The part is incredible. I mean, that's well worth watching. It's well worth buying the Blu-ray for that. So that this was a nice surprise, and it did, you know, Mark Kermode's six laugh test. If it's a comedy, you've got to laugh at least six times to make it a comedy.
Absolutely, yeah.
This passed the six laugh test for me. Yeah. There is some real, like, laugh out loud moments in it.
Mm.
And I enjoyed it far more than I was expecting to. So if this is one that's passed you by, Champions, it's well worth watching.
Is that your number one pick then?
I would say out of, because there's not a lot.
Because I haven't told you mine yet, my number one
pick. I would probably say, actually, yeah, because the way that it surprised me, that was my number one. Mm. During the 3 month period that we're covering in this episode, there wasn't as many reviews online. Mm. We did go through a break with stuff. Mm. And there was, I forget how long, and there wasn't many reviews. And we have calmed down with the reviews to what we used. It's just purely for time. It just takes so bloody long. So there wasn't as much to pick from.
When you watch a film that you've got a review, you have to remember that you have to watch the film. It could be 2+ hours long. Then you have to watch all the extras with it and occasionally, like, skip through the commentary. And then it takes a minimum of 2 hours to write a review, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's all time consuming.
You can't just bang it out, can you? You know, so, yeah, it does.
So, yeah, I know there hasn't been as many reviews the last few months, but having said that again, what was it now? It's getting towards the end of August. So the next show will cover August, September and October. There's quite a few reviews gone online.
Yeah.
So we'll have a pick. But even if there was more stuff that had been reviewed on the website, this would have still come pretty high because I do like Champions. I thought it was very good.
Well, mine was a toss-up between the box set, the Western box set, and I think it sort of gets equal billing with my number one pick, which is Nocturnal Animals.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a film that I'd previously seen after seeing the director's last film. He's only ever directed two films, A Single Man, which has Colin Firth in it. And if you read the synopsis of it, you probably look at it and think, nah, don't fancy really watching a film about a gay bloke who's doing this, that and the other. It's an incredible film. It's considering Tom Ford is the Tom Ford, a fashion designer. Like, he does handbags and perfume and aftershave and clothes and suits, and he's the real deal. He's the proper thing, fashion designer, which I have no interest in whatsoever. I couldn't tell you what his signature look is, what his handbags are. One of my friends has one of his handbags and I think she paid £1,500 for it. And I'm like, for fuck's sake, you could go on holiday or buy a car for that much money. Yeah. What a waste. So Nocturnal Animals is a very surprising film. And again, it's very stylized, but it's so beautiful to watch. And it's a story that skips back and to in a timeline where a very rich woman, and throughout the story, her stories are revealed. And her name is... Her name's gone. You're going to have to look so I can tell you. But it also stars Jake Gyllenhaal and Aaron Taylor-Paul as well. And Michael Shannon as well. It's typical that I wouldn't remember her name.
Amy Adams.
The beautiful Amy Adams with her long red hair and her big blue eyes. And she's so cold and icy in this film. So her ex-husband one day messages her and says, I've written a book, I want you to read it. And she goes, oh, all right then. So she lives in this palatial home with her rich upper-class husband, played by Armie Hammer. And as she reads the story, she's taken back in time to when she was married to her ex-husband, who's Jake Gyllenhaal. And Jake also plays the lead character in this book called Nocturnal Animals, about a man who's just travelling. You know, he's got his wife and his daughter in the car, and they get stopped by a gang of very, very bad men led by Aaron Taylor Johnson. Now, we've actually met Aaron Taylor Johnson many years ago. We went to a first showing of Kick-Ass before anybody ever knew what it was, and we briefly met him, and he was very arsey, wasn't he? He was really full of himself and arsey. I suppose you would be if you were starring in your first big Hollywood picture. But he's absolutely fucking magnetic in this film, mm-hmm. isn't he? Totally believable, absolute pond life. It's just a film that I think people would sort of see and go, oh, shall I watch it? Oh, no, I don't really fancy it. Mm. The cover of it doesn't belie the story underneath. It's brutal. It's violent. Mm-hmm. It's satisfying. It's horrific. It's just my film of the last 3 months.
Yeah.
It gets a 10 out of 10 for me.
That was really good. And it does make you think, oh, I wish Tom Ford had directed more movies.
Yeah. Or hasn't he just directed the most perfect amount of them?
Because, yeah.
Because you haven't seen a single man, and it's so amazing. It's sort of, we recently watched a film called After Sun and Ramrod, who's on another podcast, who is my brother, actually, told me to watch it, and I'd read about it. Dave and I watch films very differently because Dave's a filmmaker. He analyses things in a filmmakery way, and I'm far more emotional and more sort of look at things and then think about them afterwards. A Single Man is one of those films that you sort of think about afterwards, and it's quite affecting. The way that Nocturnal Animals is, it's got a great ending as well.
Yeah, oh yeah.
A bit of a fuck you ending.
Yeah.
It's a great film. Please seek it out and watch it. You won't be disappointed if you like thrillers.
Because it is one, when you're talking film with quite a few people and you're saying Nocturnal Animals, I think it is one that's passed a lot of people by.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a great film, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you'd never watched it before. Yeah. And had, you know, if I'd have said to you, should we watch Not, you would have probably read about it and gone, and looked at the cover and gone, oh, that's quite pretty and neon and a bit Drive-like, but no. But you were...
It's a great film. Yeah.
You were frozen to it.
Oh, yeah,
you loved it.
Yeah. So if you're like me, definitely pick it up.
Yeah.
Pick it up.
And Michael Sheen's in it as a gay man, isn't he?
We
love a bit of Michael Sheen for... Michael Sheen and Jake Gyllenhaal. Imagine that. I could have Jake Gyllenhaal, Michael Shannon, Michael Sheen and Aaron Taylor Johnson in a sex sandwich.
All of them in this film.
Yeah. I might add Amy Adams to that as well.
Yeah.
One big, well, that'd be an orgy, wouldn't it?
It'd be like the shunting in society.
I don't think so.
Bits of bodies appearing where you didn't think
arses
bits of
everywhere,
bodies were.
Legs up there.
That would be it.
Mermaid vaginas.
And that's it.
Like is said, it? Thank God for you can't. Mermaid vagina can't be the
credits,
last bit.
Credits.
Do you want me to sing you out? Dooley song would you like
to
sing?
I have got
to
tell everybody, just in case they don't know.
Yeah.
That all of the reviews that we do is on our website, 60mw.co.uk, numerical 60, not alphabetical.
Mm.
Of course, everybody listening to this has it bookmarked. It's their homepage.
Bookmarked?
Bookmarked.
Oh, I thought you said bookmarked then,
butt-marked.
Like butt. Like they slap their butt-marked. Ass.
Marked. Well, that's on a Mac, but is it favourited on a Windows?
I don't know.
Don't you?
No.
Why have you not got 60mw as your homepage on your computer?
No.
How disgusting. You're fired.
Am I fired? Am I? Oh, God, I was hoping for a raise.
Go there. Keep up to date with everything that's on there. All of the reviews and everything else is on there. So we shall say goodbye. And if you want to finish with a song, it's over to you.
Okay. Which Dooley song shall I sing? Because we've already had Wanted, haven't we?
That's the only one.
There must be another 70s song that you're upset. A Boney M song. Okay. Ra, ra, Rasputin, lover of the Russian queen. Come on, Dave.
There's not room for me to get up and dance.
Well, you don't... You want to be Bobby then, do you?
I'm always Bobby.
Well, what about Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, come on, was born. Come on, Dave. Christmas Day. No. Brown girl in the ring. La, 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 la. You're not going to join in?
No.